Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. Welcome to Yahweh's Covenant People, October 14th, 2016. And tonight we're going to be reading from a book entitled Who is Esau Edom by Charles Wiseman. If you haven't heard yet, Mr. Wiseman died last week, although I don't have the exact details of what it is he died of. Apparently medical malfeasance from what I've been hearing, but we've never really done any of his material, so as a tribute to Mr. Wiseman, we're going to be reading from Who is Esau Edom, which is probably his best and most famous work. And I can't put this in the chat room, but I'll send you the link if you don't have it up already. Maybe you can put the link in the chat room, Pastor Steve. So how are you, Pastor Steve?
Shalom aleichem to everybody. Yeah. I'm just fine, 14 pounds lighter.
Oh, yeah.
due to all the running around and the really healthy food we had at Feast of Tabernacles here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I had good luck this time. Yahweh blessed me, and I caught lots of trout.
Uh-huh. Very good.
some of which I have in the freezer. And before I go any further, I want to thank David James for posting that article on diabetes.
Okay.
That is an excellent thing. I have saved it and am reading it, and with all the other stuff that I'm doing with the help of my Israelite brothers and sisters, I'm getting healthier and healthier. Yahweh is blessing me, and here's another one from another Israelite that's going to be even more benefit. It works like that.
Right.
We got to stick together, folks. We all got to work together. We have little differences, but the main thing is Yahweh is our God. We are Israel. Yeshua is our Redeemer. The tribulation is coming, and we all have to help each other survive this. And Yahweh's got the judgment.
Right.
We don't need to judge anybody. We need to stick together and help one another, and it'll all come out in the wash. Over to you.
Yeah, and we follow the food laws and the feast
days.
Yeah, we do our best to follow all of Yahweh's commandments. As you said, there are differences among Israelites as to how to interpret certain passages. As a matter of fact, as long as I've been in this movement, different groups practice their feast days on different days. it's almost impossible to find two groups that practice it on the same day.
Well, I firmly believe at this point in time, due to all the knowledge that's been lost over the years, that Yahweh is looking in our hearts for the intent of what we are doing.
Right.
If we are trying to honor Him and obey, that is what is important.
Right.
So the mechanics of everything will work out.
Okay. All right. So let's go. Who is Esau Edom by Charles Wiseman? And by Sunday morning, I'll try to find out a little bit more detail about Charles Wiseman's passing and maybe do a little tribute for him.
It's up on the chat room right now.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Somebody just posted it. Why am I thus?
Oh,
thank you, thank you, thank you.
Very good.
Sure. Everybody's working together. Isn't that great?
Yes.
There you go.
All right, I'll pick that up after the show. Thank you very much. And we'll use it for Sunday's Bloodlines. By the way, David James and I were going to do a part three of Galatians, and then Pastor Steve and I will pick up with a new topic.
I have been listening, and that is just so much fun. David's doing just a marvelous job. Of course, he did that thing on Job.
Right.
And the thing with the yellow brick road.
Yeah.
Yellow. Man, this is, he's just killing him. Who said, why am I thus?
Yeah, right.
I did, Pastor Steve.
Yellow brick shtick. Juice shtick. Right. But this, who is Esau Edom, is, I still say, the best work of Charles Wiseman. He's done many, many books. Man, it's hard to count. He's done so many books.
Yeah.
He is not a two-seed line, however. He is a single-seed line, Identian, with very Jew-savvy, okay?
Yeah.
Which is very good. Jew-savvy is good, okay? And so I'm going to just go ahead and read from the introduction. It's not a very long book, and we may want to devote more than one show to this because it is such good material. And for people,
I love good material.
Oh yeah. And so I'm just going to read from the introduction, and Pastor Steve, just feel free to interject at any point. Okay. The title of this book poses a question which may well prove to be the most important question in understanding the Bible, history, and world events. I know D would agree with that. Who is Esau Edom? Esau was the firstborn son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, with whom God had made a special covenant. The Bible story tells us that Esau would have a destiny unique and separate from that of his twin brother Jacob. The dissimilar and conflicting destinies of these two individuals would affect the course of history to the present day. And I would have to, at this point, pose a question to you, Pastor Steve. What he had just said here is absolutely true. And the question is, why don't the Judeo churches ever, and I mean ever, bring up Esau?
Well, that's because they're controlled by Esau.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you don't bite the hand that feeds you with your 501c3.
You don't bite the lizard that feeds you, and it might bite back, right? Yes. He continues, this material presents the strong meat of God's word, which is intended to edify and nourish strong Christians, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
It thus is specifically intended for those who have advanced to the stage of understanding the racial perspective of the Bible. Amen. In revealing the mysteries of Scripture surrounding Esau Edom, this book deals with history, prophecy, ethnology, providence, symbology, and eschatology. And eschatology means the analysis of the end times, especially the second coming of Christ. This book traces the life and destiny of Esau and his descendants, the Edomites, and their relationship to Jacob Israel, to God, to historical and current events, and to other races, plus their place in prophecy and judgment, of which there is a great deal in the Bible, and the Judeo-churches completely ignore all of this.
Okay, I have a suggestion for all those that are listening that have not done this before. When we're finished with this show, get whatever Bible you've got, and go to the book of Obadiah and read the entire book.
It's only one page. Yeah, read that entire book.
It's not all that long, but it's power-packed, and it will show you definitely what we are talking about.
Right, exactly. And just about all of the Old Testament prophets talk about the Edomites and declare their destiny will be total destruction. Virtually every Old Testament prophet says that. And, of course, Yahshua verifies that in the prophecy of the wheat and the tares, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And Paul, I believe it's either in Galatians or Romans, I think it's Romans 9, where he says that the Edomites are...
9:13.
Okay, Edomites are vessels fit for destruction.
Yes, okay. Sir. I have my whole list here.
Oh, okay.
I keep by the computer. People ask me about it all the time, and it's a quick reference. I can give them all the verses. I got them right here.
Well, why don't you read that one? Because this is in the New Testament also. For those people who call themselves New Testament Christians, Paul verifies what we just said in Romans.
Okay, just a second.
Okay.
Let me get to Romans. And, 9:13. 8.
Yeah, okay, I'll just read the last paragraph
there
here.
There we go.
Okay.
As it has been written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And the reference to that in Romans 9:13 is the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. And in that epistle, Paul verifies that the Edomites are vessels fit for destruction, which is, and that they cannot escape that destruction. And that's verified in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Okay. So to those, to these churches, and I would say Tex-Mars, you're teaching that the Jews can be saved. The Bible totally denies that. Isn't that the case, Pastor Steve? The Bible totally denies that the Edomites, the Jews, can be saved?
Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, said Yahweh, but you ask, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares Yahweh, and I love Jacob. Verse 3. But I have hated Esau, and have laid waste his mountains and his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. If Edom says, we have been beaten down, let us return and build the ruins, Yahweh of hosts says thus, let them build, but I will tear down, and they shall be called border of wrongness, and the people against whom Yahweh is enraged forever.
Amen.
That's
forever.
The book of Malachi.
Right. Yeah.
So why would he allow someone that he is enraged forever against
to live forever?
Be blessed by the salvation of his manifestation on earth, Yeshua.
Amen. Why would that?
Yeshua
and, he does
and Yahweh do not love everybody. That is a lie of the Judeo-Christian churches.
That's correct.
There are people that they hate.
Yes, and the world
deal
is full
of, with it, Judeo-Christian.
Right, and Jesus in John chapter 7 says, I will not pray. I do not pray for the world because there are parts of the world that are going to be destroyed.
Bring them in front of me and slay them in front of me.
Yeah, Luke 17:29, I believe. All right, let's continue. A main goal of this material is to reveal the plans and ways of God regarding the role of Esau and his descendants in the world. Thus, this book may well provide the definitive answers to some of the world's most perplexing questions. And here again, I would say that only those of us in Christian identity have dealt with this subject. The rest of the so-called Christian world, and I do mean so-called Christian world, utterly ignore the story of Jacob and Esau. So we're going to explore this right now. Chapter 1, The Legacy of Esau Edom. To help answer the question of who is Esau Edom, the first necessary step is to examine the racial and genealogical history of Esau and his descendants. Esau was the firstborn of Isaac, and thus was heir to the birthright derived from the direct racial lineage of Adam to Noah to Abraham. Thus, Esau was racially an Adamite, a Semite, and a Hebrew, the racial stock of the white race. Just as Esau despised his birthright, Genesis 25:34, when he sold it to Jacob, he also despised his race by marrying strange women outside of his race.
That's right.
Now, isn't this, this is absolutely correct, But why don't the churches teach this? All right.
Well, because they are promoting an agenda of miscegenation.
That's right.
That is the politically correct thing. They don't want to offend. Most of them are 501c3. Some are not. The word "all" needs to be used very carefully.
Right.
Yes. We can't tar all with the same brush. Yes. But the majority, let's just say the majority,
yes,
of the, especially the larger churches, are 501c3 tax exempt. And which opens the door for control by the government, as in Canada. If you preach against homosexuality in the pulpit in Canada, it is hate speech, and even though you are a preacher in a church, you will go to prison for that.
Right, right, and they'll try to do.
That is what they are trying to do here. They especially if Shrillery gets in, she will attack the First Amendment. She will open the door wide to this internet outfit that will edit
censor
your free speech rights here on the internet.
Right.
So be glad that you've got EFR right now, folks.
Right.
Because they may just come in with the jackbooted thugs and kick our doors in.
That's right.
You know?
And that's happened to me on Facebook several times where... Yeah, because Facebook doesn't like the anti-Jewish posts that I'm constantly putting up. And occasionally they shut me down for a few days and censor me because I refuse to stop posting information about the Jews, who are, in fact, the Edomites that we're talking about right here. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a section of them. They're not even pure Edomites anymore.
Yeah, that's right. They're all kinds of stuff.
Just like David James was talking about on his... a news broadcast, they are so race mixed that they have all these genetically transferred diseases and frailties.
Yes.
Because they have no solid base to build on. And as he said, I'll quote him, they have to race mix.
That's right.
Because if they inbreed with their own kind, they will have no life in their blood. He said they have no life left in their blood, and I believe he's absolutely correct on that. David is very, very sharp on such things.
Yeah, he's such a racist.
His exposés and his news broadcasts are just excellent. I never miss them.
Yeah. Well, it's much better than the mainstream news, we guarantee you, folks. Right?
And he puts such humor in it. It's fun to listen to.
Right, unlike the nightly news, which is boring, right? It's all Hillary worship is what it is these days, and Trump criticism. But let's continue. Esau married the daughters of Canaan, or Canaanites, Genesis 28:6, 36:2. The daughters of Heth, or Hittites, Genesis 26:34, 27:46, 36:2. I won't bother to quote any more references here. I'll just continue reading. The daughters of Ishmael, the daughters of Hivites, and had intermarried with the Horites. These interracial marriages were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah, Esau's parents. And that I will quote. It's Genesis 26:35 if you want to look that up for yourself. Okay. The descendants of Esau from these marriages became known as Edomites or as Edom. The Edomites also possessed some Israelite blood by intermarriages, as in the case of Solomon, 1 Kings 11:1. Now, the Bible not only condemns race mixing, it prohibits us from actually learning the ways of non-Israelites, which our churches are actually violating even today. Over to you.
Well, we were prohibited from taking their daughters for our sons and their sons for our daughters.
Yes.
Because they would entice our people to worship the gods of the land. And this happened with Solomon.
Yes.
When he took non-Israelite wives. He had enough Israelite wives that he fathered Nathan and...
Solomon.
Nathan. Yeah. And fathered the line that would eventually result in Yeshua, Messiah.
Right.
But he had so many others. He was so wise at first, and then he became a fool.
Right.
And he built high places and altars to all these pagan gods to please his wives. And the kingdom was ripped from him because of his apostasy, not in his lifetime, but in the lifetime of his son that would be the king.
Right.
The kingdom was severed.
Yes.
And Yehuda and Benjamin, Judah and Benjamin, would remain in Jerusalem, and the 10 northern tribes would separate. And that was the rift when they separated because of his apostasy.
And the book
and
of Nehemiah.
And it went downhill from there.
Yeah,
they had some horrible people in the king's seat. So you saw the destruction of a wise man, the wisest of the wise, who became a fool because of disobedience to Yahweh.
Well, he violated.
This is what happened to Esau.
He violated the commandment that says, "Learn not the way of the heathen," by taking these foreign wives, especially these Edomite and Canaanite wives.
Yes.
He learned their ways. As you said, he put up statues to their gods, and he learned their ways. That's why we're not to even associate with any non-white. Okay? The Bible is very clear about this, folks. Your so-called Christian pastors are lying to you about the race issue. The Bible clearly condemns race mixing from beginning to end, and it says we Israelites are supposed to remain separate, totally separate.
All right, here, let's read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 20. And I'm reading from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. But Amatsyahu did not listen, for it came from Elohim in order to give them into the hand of their enemies, because they had sought the mighty ones of Edom. Now, mighty ones is Elohim or Eloheka, the gods, little g gods of Edom. Edom went so far as to have their own gods.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and then these same Edomites later became known as the Pharisees from Idumea, who began impersonating Judah about 100 BC, 100 years before the coming of Christ. And
Herod was an Edomite.
Right.
An Edomite.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Well,
yeah, well...
And matter of fact, the Edomites had so infiltrated the Aharonic priesthood, and they were not, and Herod had put people in just because they were his buddies and kinsmen.
Right.
And Yeshua Messiah removed the priesthood from the Levites because of their infiltration by non-Israelites.
Yeah.
And he instituted the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
Okay. Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. And Yeshua is the king of righteousness, and he is the high priest of Melchizedek.
Right. Exactly.
So, and he will take that crown.
Yes.
Well, and lead us as our high priest on his return.
Yes. So, since you brought that up, the fact is that the Levitical priesthood was instructed to do all the animal sacrifices, which were no longer necessary because the last Passover, namely Yeshua the Messiah, had come. He therefore fulfilled the law of sacrifice, not the law of commandments, not the Ten Commandments, but only fulfilled the law of sacrifice. So, in effect, the Levites were no longer necessary.
And even
if they were, the Edomites took their place by deceit and fraud, thanks to Herod, who, because Josephus tells us very clearly that Herod assassinated the entire Sanhedrin of pure-blooded Judahites and replaced them with Edomites.
Killed them all.
So this, folks, this, if you don't know this history, you don't understand what happened in Judea just before the coming of Christ. You just don't know, okay? And neither the Jews nor the Judeo churches are going to tell you about this history. But let's continue. Esau and the Edomites dwelt in Mount Seir, which God gave to Esau for a possession. This land was also known as Idumea, the land of Edom. Mm-hmm. Mount Seir lay is actually the correct English, lay south of the Dead Sea, stretching south to its seaport at Elath, and included the ravine known as Petra. Now, that Petra, you probably have seen if you watch any of the Indiana Jones movies. There's that scene in one of the movies where the gigantic columns of Petra carved out of the solid rock is a major portion of one of the scenes there, and that's Petra. So that's where the Edomites live, folks. That's where the Edomites live. And all of this, by the way, just to quickly mention, if anybody doubts that the Bible is historical and all of these place names, et cetera, and personage names aren't truly historical and didn't exist, you're living on some other planet, because the Bible is true, and every time a new archaeological study comes out, it's verified that the historical information of the Bible is verified every single time. Okay.
Well, that's why the Jews in Israeli are scrambling to bulldoze all these archaeological sites, and they have confiscated and hidden anything that has been found, because it will bring to the light of day all their lies.
That's right.
And
that's right.
They don't want their cover blown. Well, I'm sorry, but it's already blown.
Yeah, right.
People are waking up all over. Even some of the Judeo-Christian churches are losing people in droves.
That's right.
And Christian identity is growing. Even people that are on the fringe that don't proclaim it, they're listening. They're writing stuff down. They're downloading shows. The downloads on EFR are astounding.
That's right.
And
that's right.
It's not one or two people doing this. There's thousands of downloads now.
Yeah. In the early days of my broadcast career, I got virtually nothing but criticism from all quarters, except those in Two Seed Line Identity. Okay. But these days, about 15 years later, I'm finding that awareness of who and what the Jews really are has increased tremendously since that time. And many of my critics have fallen by the wayside, and I don't hear a peep out of them anymore. Okay. Oh, Eli, you're so critical of the Jews. The Jews are God's chosen. I'm sorry, folks. Don't make
me
wretch.
Well, they are. They're chosen.
Yeah,
they're
right. For destruction. There you go. All right. Well, Mr. Wiseman continues. After the conquest of Judah by the Babylonians, some of the Edomites who had mixed with the, quote, Jews in their land resettled with them in Judea. And he puts Jews in quotation marks advisedly. That's what people falsely believe Judah to be. They equate Judah with the Jews, but they're not. The Jewish people have never been, will never be, can never be Judah or Israel. They are, in fact, descended from Esau, Edom, and the Canaanites, and today you have a lot of Ashkenazi Khazars mixed in. Isn't it correct to say that no Jew, unless he happens to be a Aryan convert to Judaism, has any measurable Israelite blood?
Well, they'd have to do a DNA test, and they may have one drop. By their fruits you shall know them.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, two centuries later, all of Edom was driven out of Mount Seir. Didn't he say he was going to destroy their cities? Right. And if they rebuild, he was going to tear them down.
Right.
I read that passage. What happened? Yahweh does not lie, folks.
That's right. That's right.
And if he says he's going to do something, he does.
Yeah. But and one of the questions I get frequently is, well, why hasn't Yahweh dealt with these people already? Why is he allowing them to exist? Well, doesn't it have
because
to do...
we are being tried by fire because we are in dispersion as punishment for yes. our apostasy, and we are regathering under the Christian identity banner, crusade line,
right?
And remnant is forming and gathering, and that is part of our trial by fire.
Amen.
They are here as a test for us. As as an opponent, the same way he used Shaul, who disobeyed, and he punished Shaul and Nebuchadnezzar. He used Nebuchadnezzar as a punishment, as a tool,
right.
And then later destroyed him when he was done using him. Well, he's almost done using these Edomites.
Right. Well,
and their time is growing short, and their financial empire is crumbling, and they are going into panic mode.
Right. So wouldn't it be correct to say that Yahweh is gleaning the house of Israel or house of Jacob, to find those who will be true to his laws and separate us from those, Revelation 12:17, separate his remnant who obey his commandment and keep the gospel of Jesus Christ, separate us away from the Judeo-Christians. So in other words, he's using the Jews as a, how can I put it? A means of, go ahead.
As a threshing shovel that you cast the grain up in the air.
Yeah, separating the wheat from the chaff. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares.
Yes.
And he's finding out who's going to be true to him, who is going to worship him in truth.
Right.
Who is going to call upon his name, not the Lord.
Right.
Well.
Oh, Lordy, Lordy.
It says right there, it says right there in the Bible, he who calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved.
Amen.
Not the Lord.
That's right. Right.
And that's why we use the name of Yahweh, because it is important that people know the name is Yahweh. Lord
yes.
is a title. Not a name. The name is Yahweh.
Yes.
That's why we try to use the name Jesus with the name Yeshua, because there are a lot of new people that tune in and they don't know who Yeshua is until we connect them
right.
with that name Jesus, which is a mistranslation, and the light bulb comes on. Oh, that's who they're talking about.
Right, right.
And then they listen and they get further education. It sparks their interest. And that's the purpose of EFR, is to teach.
Amen. Amen. All right. Mr. Wiseman quotes John D. Davis, A Dictionary of the Bible, page 332, where it says, "The Edomites were driven from Petra westward by the Nabataeans in 312 B.C., and before the middle of the 2nd century B.C., they were occupying not only southern Judah, but also Hebron and the country to its north as far as Beth Zur." And Mr. Wiseman continues, "The Nabataeans now occupied Mount Seir, and the Edomites were driven into the old territory of Judah. The Maccabean family, a remnant of the true Judahites, had ruled Judea from 166 to 37 B.C., and under Judas Maccabee, who was a Judahite, not a Jew, folks, a Judahite, not a Jew, recaptured the city of Hebron from the Edomites in 164 B.C. 1 Maccabees 5:3. During the time of John Hyrcanus, the nephew of Judas, the Judahites were again faced with the hostility of the Idumeans. Hyrcanus confronted the Edomites, causing a decisive change in the relations between the two factions." This is very important, what I'm going to read now, and this is from Encyclopedia Judaica. "John Hyrcanus conquered the whole of Edom and undertook the forced conversion of its inhabitants to Judaism." Well, that's actually a misstatement, but of course he's quoting a Jewish publication. "Thenceforth, the Edomites became a section of the Jewish people. Now, that's not correctly stated. Thenceforth, the Edomites became a section of the nation of Judah, who were not
right,
the
and
Jewish
that, people. That's Josephus, Antiquities 8:9-1.
Okay, yeah, they're quoting the Josephus within the body of this quote from the Encyclopedia Judaica. And then Weissman continues, thus at this juncture of time, the Edomites were then incorporated within the Judahite nation, which is the correct translation, and their country was called by the Greeks and Romans Idumea. Okay, so here we see that the conflation or the mixing of the two peoples, the purebred racial Judahites of Judah and the mixed race Edomites of Edom, combined together into a multicultural state called Judea. Right? And none of the Bible historians point this out. That
well, they had taken during the captivities and when they shipped everybody out, the purebloods, they repopulated that area with people that they wanted to get rid of. These people are inconvenient and they're pagans, yeah, and they do this and they do that. Let's get them out of our land. Let's ship them down to Jerusalem. Let's send them to the land of Judah and get them out from under our feet. So they sent all this polyglot of these mongrels down there and repopulated the area. During the time of Yeshua Messiah, there were still a few pure blood Judahites left. Uh-huh. And that is who he taught and preached to, and that is who he sent his disciples to. He warned, don't go to this land or don't go to that land. And he said, clearly, I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Judahites are of the house of Israel. Yes, they were separated, but they're still Israel.
They're still
even
Israelites.
Even though the geographical separation had occurred,
yes,
they were still part of Israel.
Yes, and even the returning refugees from the Babylonian captivity, which were primarily Judah and Benjamin, they, even in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, refer to themselves as Israel very frequently. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yes.
So
that whole area was part of the inheritance of Judah, and Benjamin was a tag along because they were so small. They backed up Judah and rode along on their coattails. So there were two tribes in the land of the territory of Judah, the inheritance area.
Yes.
Then the ten tribes went toward the north, and that was the separation. Well, they shipped a whole bunch of these people back. They would ask them, where are you from? Well, I'm from Jerusalem. Okay, you get in that line over there. Where are you from? I'm from so-and-so. No, you get in that line over there.
Right.
So they were going to ship these people back. Well, they did. They shipped the people that were originally from that area back into this racial mix that they had repopulated. And Israel is so separatist that they stayed separate.
Yes.
And we have stayed separate to a great degree. You are white today, brothers and sisters, because your parents and grandparents and great-great-parents practiced segregation.
That's right.
Don't forget that.
That's absolutely right. All right. Okay, so he continues, but the tide turned in favor of the Edomite faction when Julius Caesar made Antipater an Edomite, procurator of Judea in 47 BC. Procurator is basically tax collector. A Jewish tax collector.
Yeah,
Imagine they
procured the income.
That's right.
That's what they were, tax collector.
Exactly. When Antipater was killed 4 years later, his son Herod gained power but was rejected by the Judahites. He's getting this information from 1st and 2nd Maccabees and from Josephus. It's all right there, folks. You can read those books for yourself. Herod shrewdly gained the support of Rome, With the Roman army at his heels, he returned to Palestine, and after a six-month siege, he captured Jerusalem and became king of Judea in 37 BC. Now,
I think that is an error. He was governor.
Governor,
of
right.
Judea.
Right.
Not king.
Not king.
Because the Jews have never had a king.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, but he was forcibly imposed upon the Judahites by Rome. He was not racially descended from any of the tribes of Israel. He was descended from Esau. That's the important point here. Okay? Mm-hmm. Herod was a shrewd and unscrupulous tyrant and was despised by the Judahites because he was an Idumean and not one of their own stock. Herod hated the people of Judah, and one of his first acts was to execute 45 of the leaders of the old aristocracy to eliminate any rivalry for leadership.
Having that's the Sanhedrin that he killed.
That's right. Having secured the kingship, Herod next destroyed the priestly line of Hyrcanus, the last being Antigonus, who taunted Herod with his Idumean origin and asserted that the kingdom should fall on one of the royal family. All right.
That's
in other
correct.
In other words, you race mixed Jew mongrel. I can see Antigonus taunting Herod. Finally, he murdered Aristobulus, the last of the Aaronic high priests. Herod then sought to affiliate himself with the high priesthood through marrying Mariamne, Aristobulus' sister and daughter of a high priest. So Mariamne was a pure-blooded Judahite. Okay. And being forced to be married to a Jew. Wow. What a fate. What a fate. Herod even rebuilt the temple as it was in ruins from repeated sieges, part of which Herod was responsible for by his attack upon the city. The temple of God became, in a sense, Herod's temple. We thus find that in the years just before the time of Christ, Judea was controlled by an Edomite faction named the Pharisees, who usurped the Judahite name, land, and heritage. No,
right.
Jews wouldn't do such a thing, would they? Would the Jews ever impersonate another people?
Oh, surely not. Oy, what you're saying here.
Yeah, right. Under Hyrcanus, the Edomites were forced to be part of Judean culture. Amen. But under Herod, the Herodian faction had control over the Judeans' culture and way of life. Confounding the matter is the fact that some Judahites had intermixed with Edomite, Canaanite, and other alien stock at the time they returned from the Babylonian captivity. That's from Ezra 9:1. But we cannot forget that Ezra and Nehemiah expelled those people. Okay, kicked them out, so that after that house cleaning, Judah was pure Aryan again. Okay, let's continue. These mixed blood people were also hostile toward the Judean Israelites. Of course, Jews have always been hostile towards us. The land was not the kingdom of Judah anymore, but the nation of the Jews. Historically, the Edomites became known as Jews, a term derived from Judea, which was derived from the name of Judah, being the royal line of Israel, though they were never of Judah or Israel. That is, these Jews were never of Judah or Israel. And it's important here to show how the etymology of the word Jew. Here, I don't think it could be said any better than what Wiseman has said here, that the word Jew is derived from the term Judea, which in turn was derived from the name Judah. But Judah is the name of an exclusively racial group of the tribe of Judah. Judea, on the other hand, is simply a territorial word, which we have just discovered is the territory in which these mongrels and the Judahites and Idumeans were all mixed together. This occurred, again, around 100 BC. It was not part of the legacy of Ezra and Nehemiah or of the Maccabees, who resisted to the death any attempt to race mix their people.
All right. And in modern times, pardon me, how many white families today have had their bloodline destroyed by their sons and daughters intermarrying?
Right.
How many?
Yes.
Are we not in the same condition today that they were in this mongrel land
of Judea
that they replanted some pure-blooded Judahites in? And even then, even with the stiff rules within the Israelite people, according to the Torah, that it was death to race mix, that they did it anyway. Because the power of Rome prevented them from being punished. And the administrator of that power was an Edomite who wanted to race mix us out of existence,
right,
just as the seed of Edom today wants to race mix our current white brothers and sisters out of existence by miscegenation.
Amen.
Today. Times have not changed.
That's right. Yeah, this entire episode in Judea is actually a presage of what's happening today. In other words, history is repeating itself, folks. And that's why it's so important that you, as an Aryan white Adamite, know who you are and know who the Jews really are, because you will not understand the Bible if you do not have this knowledge, which Wiseman is very adequately expressing here.
You have to know what the Jews are, not just who.
That's right. During Titus' siege of Jerusalem, 66 to 70 AD, 20,000 Idumeans appeared before Jerusalem to fight in behalf of the zealots who were besieged in the temple. About 97,000 inhabitants of Judea were taken captive, and an unknown number had fled either before or during the siege. This is the last mention of the Edomites as a people in history. Yet Bible prophecy indicates that Edom would be an enemy of Israel in latter times. We find that their only connection to a present-day people and religion is with the Jews and Judaism. Amen and amen and amen, Mr. Wiseman.
They even admit themselves,
right,
that the Jews are Edomites.
That's
in,
right,
in their publications. It's Edom. Edom is Jewry.
That's
they
right.
say that.
They admit it. Yes,
they out in the open. Yeah. They're not trying to hide it.
Right, and they also admit their Hittite heritage, going way back to when Esau married those two Hittite women that Wiseman mentioned earlier. Okay,
that's where the nose comes from,
that's
folks.
Right.
That's
right. The nose knows.
That's
right.
Where the nose comes.
That's
from.
Right.
That's
amen.
The Hittite nose.
That's the Hittite nose with the hook nose and the receding forehead, the beady eyes, crooked lips, and crooked teeth. That's where that comes from, folks.
Yep.
Okay.
The beak.
Right, the beak. The beak people, all right?
That's why they have such a big nose, because air is free.
Yeah, right. We thus need to trace back the origin of the Jews to see who they are and how they fit into the puzzle of who is Esau Edom. But here, let me just jump back to the previous paragraph where he talks about the zealots who were besieged in the temple. Now, it's hard to determine how many of these zealots are Edomites and how many of them are pure-blooded Judahites, just as we have today, Pastor Steve. We have Christian Israelites, that is white Christians who don't know they're Israelites, taking the sword on behalf of the Jews. Our people have been deceived by the Jews to the extent that they support all Jewish wars. And I think it's fair to say that this was happening in these days as well, okay?
Well, aren't all wars Jewish?
That's right. However, there was a remnant of Judah that escaped from Jerusalem and from Judea when Titus held off the siege. I think, who was the Roman emperor that died? It was one of Titus's relatives. But anyway, the emperor had died, and Titus would return to Rome to find out if the new emperor wanted to continue the Battle of Jerusalem, okay? So there was about a year in which the true-blooded Judahites of Judea had the ability to flee, and they did. They got the heck out of there and moved away, thereby joining their racial brethren of the dispersion, the House of Israel. Okay?
Yep.
Okay? We know these things. The Judeo-Christian world knows none of these things. Next heading, the origins of the Jews. The Jews of today fall within two main types, the Sephardic Jew and the Ashkenazi Jew. The Sephardim are also known as Spanish Jews and constitute about 5% of the Jews in the world. The Ashkenazim are the Eastern European Jews, which were found in Poland, Russia, Germany, and Western Asia. This group of Jews makes up 90% of the so-called Jews in the world. So that still leaves 5%, which is Moroccan Jews, Ethiopian Jews, right? Black Jews, Oriental Jews, etc., etc.
Well, that's why they call them Hebrews.
Yeah, that's right.
Hebrews. Many,
yeah.
I'm a Hebrew.
Yeah. There's a Hebe, all right. Many reference and historical sources have unequivocally identified that the bulk of the Ashkenazi Jews were derived from a people known as Khazars. The original Jewish Encyclopedia of 1905 revealed that the main stock of the Jews came from this Asiatic people known as Khazars. And he quotes the Jewish Encyclopedia. Okay, now, folks, you probably remembered a big flap in which David Duke got involved, and David Duke actually took the side of the Ashkenazi Jews and proclaimed that these Ashkenazim are Israelites. Okay?
Wow.
Biblical Israelites is what David Duke said. Well, folks, he is absolutely wrong because the Jewish Encyclopedia disagrees with him. It says this, Khazars, a people of Turkish origin, that is Hittite origin, whose life and history are interwoven with the very beginnings of the history of the Jews of Russia. Historical evidence points to the region of the Urals as the home of the Khazars. So here, the Jewish Encyclopedia is saying very explicitly that the Jews of Russia are these Khazars.
Somebody had to pay for his plastic surgery.
That's right.
They got a lot of Jewish plastic surgeons, and David wanted to look better.
Yep. Right.
He could hustle more money from foolish people.
That's right.
If he looked nice. So he looks real good, and he's all over, and he's just shilling away, as he always has.
Yes, yes. The Khazars were a nomadic people who had no traces of Hebraic culture. They had been following a pagan and sex-oriented religion, just as the Hittites and the Canaanites had done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just like them, okay? Until they had officially embraced Judaism in 740 AD. While rejecting Christianity and Mohammedanism. The Jewish author and historian Arthur Koestler also concludes that the majority of East European Jews, and hence of world Jewry, is of Khazar and not of Shemitic origin. In the beginning of his book, he states, quote, "The large majority of surviving Jews in the world is of Eastern European, and thus perhaps mainly Khazar origin. If so, this would mean that their ancestors came not from the Jordan, but from the Volga, not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus, and that genetically they are more closely related to the Hun, Uyghur, and Magyar tribes than to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You know, is it possible, Pastor Steve, that a Jew could ever tell the truth?
Well...
he's pretty close here.
I wonder how long he lived after publishing that.
Just a few months. He did not live much longer after publishing this book. But even here, it's not quite accurate because what many of the Huns, Uyghurs, and Magyars are actually of, let me put it this way, not of Hebraic, but Aramaic and, what do you call it? Japhetic, thank you. That's what I'm trying to think of. So, but they're more white. These people are more white than any Jews are, okay? He continues, Koestler then devotes the remainder of his 255-page book to prove this premise. For instance, a record of a letter by the Khazar king shows that he traced his people to Noah's son, Japheth, as we just mentioned, Japheth, not Shem, and to Japheth's grandson, Togarmah, the ancestor of all Turkish tribes. Now, we have to point out here that the Middle East, the area called Turkey, is the original territory of the Hittites. So what we see here is that the Japhetic people, who were white, interbred with these Hittites, thus creating this group called Turks.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So now we know where the Turks came from, folks. You probably never knew that. It's probably not in your history books either. All right?
No.
The Khazar government was destroyed by the Slavs of Russia in 1016 AD. Around 1200 AD, the land was invaded by the hordes of Genghis Khan. These two events caused large numbers of Khazars to migrate to Poland and Western Russia, forming the cradle of Western Jewry. And he quotes here, "There is an abundance of ancient place names in the Ukraine and Poland which derive from Khazar or Zhid, that is Yiddish, Zhid, literature." Okay? And this is quoted from Kessler. All right, so isn't it a fact? Didn't Netanyahu come out with a statement, I believe it was last year, and during the big flap over Ukraine, that, we Jews are just reclaiming our old territory. Didn't he say that? Didn't Netanyahu really say that? Yeah. So, these Jews know who they are. They know they're Hittites, Canaanites, Khazars, and Yids. They know they're not Israelites. They admit it all the time. If you're listening to what they're saying. But the vast majority of white people are so deluded by the lie that the Jews are Israel, comments like this just go right over their heads.
Well, you got maybe 0.1% of truth that leaks out, and the rest is all propaganda because they own all the media.
Yes.
So it's overwhelmed. You have one little pure thing in there overwhelmed by a bucket full of garbage.
Right.
So, yep. And I'm being polite.
And that's New York Times, Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS, etc. Okay? That's how much truth there is in those rags. And he continues, "As the Khazars left their homeland of Khazaria and migrated north and west, they lost their name and became known as Jews." Well, why did it become known as Jews? Let me just finish the rest, one more sentence in this paragraph. "Their Yiddish language and alphabet is not that of the Israelites, but an amalgamation of Aramaic, medieval German, Slovak, and Russian dialects." And with what, a little Hebrew thrown in too?
Just a tiny bit.
Okay. So these Khazars.
And that is mispronounced.
Yes. So these Yiddish people. A Yid is not a Hebrew, folks.
No.
A Yid is absolutely.
Their language is a mongrel language because they are a mongrel people.
Okay. One more quote from H.G. Wells, and this is a good one. "The Idumeans, Edomites, were made Jews, and a Turkish people, Khazars, were mainly Jews in South Russia. The main part of Jewry never was in Judea and had never come out of Judea." Mr. Wells.
Ow.
Ooh, yeah. Now, this guy's famous. H.G. Wells is one of the most famous.
Yeah, War of the Worlds and all of that.
Right. And yet, you never hear this quotation from Mr. Wells from his book, Outline of History. Never. Never.
No.
Okay? Somebody's hiding something here. Somebody's trying to prevent us from knowing these things. And Mr. Wiseman, we have tremendous gratitude for your efforts here in publishing this book, Who is Esau Edom? And so we've run out of time, and this book is so good. We need to continue, maybe do two or three more shows on this, because this is very important stuff. Our people, the whole world, needs to know who and what the Jews really are. And until we do have this knowledge, we can never make the correct decision politically, spiritually, morally, intellectually of what we're supposed to do when we come up with the children of the devil. Your final comment.
Well, the more you know, the more dangerous you are to the enemy, folks.
That's right.
So Check in with us on the next show. Same bat time, same bat channel here on EFR.
Right.
And shalom aleichem to all of you.
And Yahweh bless. We'll be right back.